And my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud and their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to go up on here so I can see you. You can see me. So this wonderful passage, the third in our series, and it's sort of like Mary, just the outpouring of her soul, really. Her reaction to everything that has happened to her in recent weeks, probably maybe only a couple of weeks. We don't know exactly. The angel's words, first of all, to her. Then her pregnancy, and we don't know exactly when she conceived. Maybe it was when the angel was with her, but we presume that by the time she's with Elizabeth, she probably is pregnant. And then the reaction of her cousin Elizabeth and the baby in Elizabeth's womb, who will be John the Baptist. It's like having a window to Mary's soul. That's what I feel as we read this. It's like seeing this woman who's been chosen for this extraordinary task, and it is a window into her soul. Oh, thank you. Is it going to fall off? Thank you. And it's in the context of this extraordinary encounter, this meeting on the surface between two pregnant women, but actually it's a meeting on lots of different levels. It's the meeting of two unborn babies. It's the meeting of Elizabeth meeting with Mary's unborn child as well. There's all sorts of meetings, and the Holy Spirit comes and has filled John the Baptist. We know, of course, he's filled Jesus, but also he fills Elizabeth as well so that she can prophesy. And we heard about it last week, so I'm not going to say very much more about it. But I just want to say this, that before we look at Mary's words, whether it's her song, whether she actually sang it or said it, it doesn't really matter. They're still amazing, beautiful words. I just want to say this, that God gives each one of us people like Elizabeth. People who love us. Mary went to her cousin knowing she would be safe there, knowing that she would be with somebody who really loved her and knew her. And God wants to do the same for us in this body. He wants to give us people who are like Elizabeth, who know us, who love us, but almost more importantly, who affirm what God is doing in us. Because Elizabeth, full of the Holy Spirit, said, "Blessed is she who believes that the word of God will be accomplished." But not only does God give us Elizabeths, and I'm sorry about the sexist nature of this, it doesn't matter that she's a woman for you chaps, he also asks us to do that for each other as well. He asks us not only to love and care about each other, but also to discern what God is doing in each other. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, of discernment. And it doesn't mean that we have to be super deep. It just means keeping our eyes open. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. You see, our relationships with each other in the church, in the body of Christ, are meant to be deeper, I would suggest, than our friendships with others who don't know him. Because in our friendships, he is there in the midst. And he wants us to bless each other and to recognize that he is in the midst. And it doesn't have to look spectacular. So I want to give you an example of what happened to me on Friday morning. I was in here waiting to take a funeral, and everything was ready No one had yet arrived. It was a moment of quiet, which I was really relishing. And in came, and I'm going to name him because he's just such a great brother of ours, in came Grenville. And he said, "What are you doing here, Shirley?" And so I said, "Well, I'm about to take this funeral." And so we chatted for a while. And then if you know Grenville, you know that talking with somebody and praying to God is almost like the same thing. So you're in the midst of a conversation and suddenly he just launched into a prayer. And he prayed for me and he prayed for us. And he prayed that God would use us, not even our words, but simply the spirit within us to speak to others. And his prayer so blessed me because it raised my faith and it raised hope, as we've been talking about, that God was really going to move in this funeral of people who don't normally come to church. That God was going to use the words that I'd prepared, that God would simply use me because of the Holy Spirit in me. And so and it would have been so easy for Grenville just to come in, say hello, have a few nice words, and then to go again. But it so blessed me. And so if that takes courage sometimes, just to say, "Can I just pray for you?" then let's do it. Let's bless each other. Let's be Elizabeths to each other. So then, Mary, whose reaction to what has happened is to praise God with all that is in her. "My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Even in this blessed state where she has been promised that she is going to be the mother of the Lord, she still knows that she needs a Saviour. She needs one who will save her, God her Saviour. And why does she praise him and rejoice in him? It's very human. She says, "For," which means because, "he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." She proclaims praise because of what she's perceived. And I know that's lots of P's, and I hope it's not really contrived, but I really believe God gave it to me. She proclaims praise because of what she has perceived. And I'm going to call us all to follow her example, actually, but I'm going to talk about that in a second. She believes, she knows that God is mindful of her, that he regards her. That's another word that is used in another translation. The Greek word is epiblepo. I don't know if I've said it right, because I've never actually had to learn Greek, sadly. And it's the only time it's used in the whole Bible. And it's talking about a gaze rather than a glance. And when I was preparing this, I got this beautiful vase of Alstroemeria, deep pink ones, on my table. And I love them. I've taken great joy in them. But I decided I would focus on just one and really gaze on it. I believe that's what God's gaze is like. That when he looks at each of us, that his gaze, and we can't begin to understand how that is with all these billions of people, but we believe by faith that's what he's like. That his gaze is full of love and delight and tenderness. That he is mindful. Maybe a latest trend, mindfulness. Well, God did it all along. Mindful of us. And that is a deep truth which we need to take on board. That actually he is mindful of me, and it's not something I have to be scared about. Because for some, as I'm saying that, you may think, "Oh no, he knows all about me." And actually, it should be something that reassures and gives us comfort and, yes, spurs us on to more holiness, but is something that is good. That this God, Creator God, is mindful of me. I was challenged before the service about something, and I was quite upset about it. And I was sitting there, and God sent me two people just to give me, who had no idea of what was going on inside me. He sent me two people, one to give me a hug, another one to give me a verse from the Bible. Praise God for you women who are so obedient, not knowing at all what I was upset about. How glorious is that? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Listening to God, obeying him, perceiving what's going on in somebody else. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful body to belong to. So she says she knows herself the object of God's loving gaze and his loving purposes, and she knows that she is simply his servant. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And if Mary can say that, then let us say that too. We are his servants. We long to please him, to be obedient, to do what he wants us to do. And that's enough for her. That is enough. That he is great and he is mindful of me and I am his servant. That's enough. It's like what we were just singing. She knows that she is a child of God. She doesn't have to be a slave of fear. And she has said yes to something that she has no idea of what the repercussions will be. No idea. She has an idea, presumably, that her reputation, at the very least, is going to go for a Burton. And that she will have to sacrifice her reputation as this godly, God-fearing, good young woman. So this isn't a song of praise when everything's going swimmingly. It's a song of praise and an outpouring of love and adoration when actually things are really uncertain. But one thing she knows, that God is mindful of her. He's involved with her life. He loves her, and that's enough for her. So this becomes a statement of faith and trust no matter what, because of how she perceives God. And that's what I want to come on to. Because first of all, it's just a reaction that she says, I just praise you, God, because of what you've done in my life. And I have seen one or two people at Alpha. I haven't been to lots of Alphas, but I've seen somebody say, I wish that I could experience God like you all have. You've all got stories of experiencing God. I haven't gotten a story like that. And the people at Alpha have encouraged that person to look out for him, to ask that he would touch her life. And the next week, coming back and completely radiant because she had sensed God's touch, sensed God's mindfulness for her. It's glorious. And of course we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't walk by experience all the time, but God knows that we need those experiences too. And then, so she then goes on to say, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Not just you, Elizabeth, because Elizabeth has just said she's blessed. Now on, all generations. She suddenly has this sense of the cosmic nature of what she is involved in. All generations will call me blessed, this humble servant of God. And then she goes on to talk about God, her perception of God. And I think it's amazing because it works on three different levels. And I want to just show you this. She's talking about herself, even though she's actually talking about God. But she's talking about her understanding of God from the way he's treated her. But she's also talking about how God has treated the nation of Jews. But she's also talking about Jesus and how he will be. So it is prophetic as well. So she's talking out of experience, she's talking out of the history of the Jewish race, but she's also being prophetic, I believe, about Jesus. So let's look at what she says. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. She has received his mercy. Beautiful word, meaning loving kindness and goodness and forgiveness, all wrapped up in one. If you think of someone having mercy on someone, she knows that she has received God's mercy. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. Well, yes, he's performed a mighty deed in her life. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. She knows that she has been lifted up by God. He has filled the hungry with good things. This is her understanding of God. And she's saying, He's filled me with good things. He's given me good things. I want to come back to that in a second. Sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. And of course, he has helped his servant Israel by sending a savior who is not only going to redeem Israel, but the whole world. So she's talking about what God is like, how she knows that this is what the story of the Jewish race, that's what has happened, that God has shown his mercy to them over and over again, that he has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has parted the Red Sea. He has done great things. He sent manna in the desert. But she's also talking about Jesus. And of course she is, because if this is her perception of God, then Jesus as God made man is going to be the same. He is going to be consistent with the God that she has experienced and understood. And so as we read this, we see it's a description of Jesus too, of what his ministry is going to be like, not only for the 3 years when he was on earth, but what he's like for us today, how we experience him. And so this is the God that is revealed to Mary by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And Jesus was later to say in John 10, I'm going to send another counselor who will be the Spirit of truth, and he will teach you all things, and he will help you to remember everything that I've said. And it's by this Spirit that what has been revealed to Mary and is what has been revealed to us too about God. So this is the God that we worship and adore. So he calls us now to proclaim our praise, to perceive what he is doing in our lives and in the lives of others, people we know, maybe even in the life of our nation. And just as I was walking to church, I felt I need to say he has filled the hungry with good things. Are you hungry this morning? Because if you've lost your hunger, ask for more. Ask that he would create a hunger again in you. And you know, some of us, we think we're hungry, but actually we forget to hold out our hands. So we forget to go to, or we neglect one or the other, to read his word, just to spend time quietly imagining ourselves before that baby in a manger. So he has filled the hungry with good things. This is a good God who longs to fill us with good things. We sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We want to see Jesus. God is always at work. He never sleeps. He is always loving, always merciful, always doing mighty deeds, always lifting us up, rescuing, redeeming, transforming, bringing streams in the desert, doing new things. And the Holy Spirit will reveal what he's doing if we ask him to. I'm going to finish with a prayer that I would like us all to say together. It's not one that I've written, but it's from the Church of England morning prayer. So those people who do the morning prayer each morning will pray this every morning. And it includes these words. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will. I'm going to just say that again because that has really become my prayer, especially over the last few days, that God will open our eyes to see his presence, to see his mercy, to see his mighty deeds. And Anne prayed in the prayer meeting before that each day we will see a miracle. Well, every time we sense God's presence is a miracle. So let me just say again, as we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will. So I just want to say, let's be intentional this Christmas about looking for Jesus and looking for his presence each day. You may already do this. Wonderful. Keep going. There's always more. But join me in looking for his presence each day, being intentional about it, because he is here with us. Let's also proclaim his praise to each other. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It was simply Mary and Elizabeth. And she was just telling someone she really trusted how she felt about God. If we get used to doing that with each other, then how much better are we going to be at telling people we don't know what God has done for us, what he means to us, how he gives us his joy and his hope and his love and his peace. So could we have the prayer up, David? Thank you. So if you'd like to join me, let's join in this prayer together. Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song together as a response to that. O come to the altar. Maybe that you just want to really give your best praise to him. Maybe that you want to just find yourself proclaiming who he is and what he has done. After that, we're going to go into communion.